Well, praise the Lord. Hey, everybody, I'm so glad that you came out tonight, and I don't want to keep you real late, so I'm just going to dive straight in and share what's on my heart. So let's go ahead and turn your chair around, put your feet up, whatever it is you need to do to not get a sore neck. Today in one of our services, we were talking about family and how that God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And you know, it's interesting that when you get around with friends around food, get a chance to kind of just visit, it's amazing the buzz. For those of you who've been coming to Kingdom Builders for a while, I actually could just sit back and just let it go all night. It's just so much fun to hear the buzz of people laughing, talking. And so I want to just share a little bit, well, something that's been on my heart. I got a weird message for you tonight. And so I got to figure out how to unpack it without going weird on you. Because Kingdom Builders is a unique group, years ago, as Sal and I began to ponder the direction that God was taking us, we had a mega church. God was good. We had different locations. Most churches stick to churches. It's enough work to give you a brain cramp right there. And then God began to open doors with television producing and then a television channel. Everyone thought we were crazy to pick that up, but God spoke to us that this would become missions to springs that would blow everything else out of the water. And today, I think it was last year, Jeff and David and I were with the head of the 4Bs, which is one of the largest ministries in television to the third world. And he just commended us and said, I've not seen a church like you guys who have recognized the signs of the times. He said, I don't know any other churches that have a television channel. Of course, we don't have it corporately, you understand, they're two different corporations, but that this is a passion. And he said that in the third world, television is at its zenith. And it's so true. In Uganda, they'll have a little hut, I mean, literally the size of two tables for an entire family, but they've all got cell phones. I had a gentleman talk to me the other day in Calgary site, and he said, I'm just upset because he says, it just seems to be all we're about is television. And I said, really? I said, well, think about this for a minute. Every teenager carries a television in their hand. It's called a cell phone. Every grandpa and grandma have got a TV on their table. It's called an iPad. It's called a computer. I said, this world has got TVs in their hands everywhere. We'd be crazy to not reach this world with television, because that's how I'm going to reach your kids, your grandkids. They're on our app. They're downloading the messages. It's just interesting that when you look at what God is doing, it's so much bigger. And so I thought, I want to just start, I'm going to start talking about church, and then I want to talk about demons. I told you it was going to be weird. I told you it was going to be weird. What is a church? It's amazing the experts that have come to me over the years telling me what I do is not good, or I'm not missing something, and that we're not going anywhere. And I keep wondering what that means when I see what God is doing with us. But the Bible very clearly says that a church should go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Four things that a church is called to do. The first thing is your Jerusalem. You've got to be good at reaching your territory, your backyard, your city, your town. Then once you've reached your Jerusalem, or not even once you've reached, once you get going, you're to go to Judea. Judea means you're branching out to the surrounding areas. Samaria is where the Samaritans were. Those were marginalized people. People who weren't respected, who weren't looked up to. People who the Jews wouldn't even touch. And they were to go to the Samaritans. Which means that every church has to go after hurting people. They've got to go after people that society might not be there for. So that means third worlds, that means the streets, that means the sick, the dying, the addicts, anywhere where people are marginalized, we need to go in and see and bring freedom. That's the third thing every church is called to. And then number four, every church is called to go to the world. If you don't do those four things, I believe that your church is not as effective as it can be. The thing that threw a monkey wrench in my plans just a few years ago was all these plans we had for church and churches, and thank God that we were in different cities and going across Canada. But then God pulled a fast one on me. And instead of just letting me do my plan, which I'm glad he always upsets my plans, he sent us to the world before we even fulfilled some of the things we wanted to do in our country. So here we were, just one of thousands of mega churches around the planet. And God says, okay, begin to produce TV, begin to go on television. And God, through unique miracles, and one day, I think I need to just tell the entire story of television. Now here we are around the world in 9 languages. Sometimes we say that and I say it so flippantly, I just don't know sometimes how to unpack it, but just to pick on one language, Spanish, and that it's going just from one channel alone to 95 countries of Spanish-speaking people blows my mind. And I haven't even gone to the Spanish-speaking people in America, the first world, and all else that goes on. And so God has been so amazing to us. He's given us not only a city expression of our faith, He's given us a national expression of our faith. Just the other day, I got a request to come in and just work with government in Ottawa. And probably almost every few months, I get a request from some group to begin to come in and almost consult or talk or be involved in government issues. And I think, wow, that's giving us some real pull as we look at our nation. Our nation needs help in the government. And so God's doing some incredible things. I want to talk to you today about understanding the spirit realm for yourself, your business, your own mind, and what's going on around you. I want to just start by giving you a few verses. Today I was talking in the services about God preparing a table in the presence of our enemies. And I want to expand on that into the business world. Everyone here as kingdom builders, Sal and I knew that if we were to continue to do what God had called us to do, that the normal giving in a church wouldn't do it. Every pastor I know barely has enough to meet the church things that are going on. You can just see them struggling, praying, asking for help. How do we keep the church going? And so to move on and say, we're going to go touch the world, becomes a very expensive proposition. And that's where kingdom builders came in, where we just begin to pray and think. We work with teens and the leaders in teens. We work with kids workers. We work with worship and praise people. We work with gifted people in every area, but we don't work with people who feel called to business and giving, who feel called to the creative area of making finances and giving. And did we ever get flack when we started Kingdom Builders? Oh my Lord. I said, we're going to put a group of people together who, over and above their tithing, will at least give $5,000. Some give way beyond that, over and above their tithe. And I'm going to meet with them and I'm going to teach them and train them. I'll never forget the first person to get to me after I announced that one. They said, the Bible says you don't put the rich man at the front and the poor. I said, oh, I'm not putting him to the front. Yeah, but the Bible said, no, you're totally missing it. I said, the Bible commands me to equip the saints for the work of their ministry. I said, we equip the worship and praise leaders. We equip the youth leaders. We equip the kids leaders. We equip security to protect our kids. We equip those. I said, why wouldn't we equip the people who feel called to give, who are called to business? And of course, we unpacked it in a way where it silenced everybody. And they realized we've got to equip everybody. And so for a church to rise up, we've got to understand that there is going to be a demonic part to it. There's going to be, Satan is not going to just go, oh, it's growing, oh well. It's been around for a long time, and so we're not ignorant of his devices. No wonder the Bible teaches us that we have to reign in life in Romans 5:17. Reign in life through this one man, Jesus Christ. The Word of God in your life, if you are going to continue this journey of taking a hold of the business realm, learning to control larger and larger amounts of finances, you become a very big threat to the enemy. He knows the supply lines are the key to every warfare. Anytime you have modern warfare, the planes will always go back and cut off the front lines from their supplies. The food, ammunition, anything they can to isolate the front lines who are doing the job, you shut down the supply lines. And the enemy is the same. He knows that if we had money, if we had 10 more million come into our church, what could we do with that? Well, it's going to come in. What will we do if business people all across a culture of our church became one of business and thriving, and it became a one of giving and generosity, and it just began to hit and spread, just bam, 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 bam. How effective could we be with the knowledge base and the skill sets that we have? What's our skill set in music? Have you seen anything better anywhere? What's our skill sets in management, administration? How many thousands of volunteers do we coordinate? It gives people a head cramp just thinking through that part. How do you coordinate thousands of volunteers? How many hundreds of volunteers to pull off one service? And most businesses can't pay people and coordinate them. Look at the skill sets. Look at what God has given us. To whom much is given, much is required. That means he believes in us this much, that he'd give us people and finances. And I mean, just look at the television and the editors and the creators and the expert. Oh, it just, the list goes on. God has something in mind that is ahead of us. So we know, but let's talk about what it looks like when you come under demonic attack. What does that look like? And do we need to be worried? What is our part to play in this? Over the years, I have noticed that all of us will go through a season where it feels like the devil is powerful in our lives. And you've got to make a choice. You've got to know doctrinally very clearly what the Word says about you making it through a season called storm. Making it through a season where you seem to be coming under attack. It could be physically, it could be relationally, it could be spiritually, it could be in the mind. But the predominant area that the enemy attacks is the mind. The Bible is very clear in Psalms 119, verse 105. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my pathway. If all the lights were turned out, pitch black, where you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, this little decorative item would become a light, a lamp. And if I hold it out in front, I'll see I'm about to walk over a cliff. I'm stepping on a landmine. Oh, there's a body over there. I need to go help that person." And the Word of God is our light, our lamp. Most of us rely upon the reasoning of our heads. But the Bible doesn't say that your reasoning is the lamp unto your feet and the light unto your pathway. Reasoning has worked for you and I to build our businesses, our organizations, to where they are today. But yet the Bible said it's going to be the Word. And so we must spend time each day for anyone who wants to do great things. If you want to do things at a level that brings great kingdom advancement, you need to know that you have an enemy, and you need to be very aware of this enemy, and you must not be ignorant of his devices. Where so many people have gone wrong is they've given him too much credit. Years ago, a book was written, and I banned it from our school and our church, wouldn't even put it in the library, and it was just called This Present Darkness. And it was a really good, fun book about demons and devils fighting over the airspace and taking out this and doing that. And it gave you this, it was very well written. It was like a movie. It was fun to read. But it left you with this awe for the demonic and for what goes out there in the dark kingdom. But I couldn't find anything in the Word of God that agreed with it. And so I want to give you a few verses. The Word of God and meditating in it is what will give you, you'll just know things, you'll sense things. In Psalms 119:11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Right away we think, so morality. Well, of course that's a part of it. But the enemy tries to tempt you off course. He tries to make you think that this way is better. And if you stay in the reasoning side, and reasoning is good, it got you to where you are, whether you're building cabinets or houses or airplanes, or whether you're in management or sales or design, your reasoning and the skill set that you have got you there. But to get to where God sees you requires the skill set of the mind, but then it requires the leadership of the Spirit. And here's where most struggle. They will only go to a place of minor success, a little bit of success, where they can give a little bit, but they don't see large amounts of being able to say, I can walk in this blessing and just take the kingdom of God on to entire new levels, because it requires a spirituality that very few people will move into. Let me read you a weird scripture now in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. Listen to this. I'm reading from the Voice translation. It says, however, in the presence of mature believers, we do impart true wisdom, not the phony wisdom typical of this rebellious age or of the hostile powers that rule this age. Despite what you may think, these ruling spirits are losing their grip on the world. Isn't that good? But we do impart God's mysterious, hidden wisdom. Before the ages began, God graciously decided to use His wisdom for our glory. This wisdom has not been grasped by the ruling powers of this age. If they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This is an amazing portion of scripture. It talks about hostile powers that rule this age, phony wisdom that is out there for people. It's interesting to me, the rise and the fall of different organizations. The great organizations that are out there making incredible money, and how these families rise and go, and how they use their money for things that have no eternal value. And the Bible says there's no wisdom in what they do. We have an ability to get into a mysterious wisdom that this world has no access to. And this wisdom is where the spirit world, where the presence of God deep within our spirit has the ability to take us places that no man would ever be smart enough to go. That only the Spirit of God could lead you through the landmines of that business. Only the Spirit of God could take you through the attacks of jealous people and liars and people that would set upon you and stab you in the back. And here you are walking through this morass of problems. And as you walk through them, the favor of God is upon you. I've noticed over the years when the enemy attacks, that he tries to make you feel like he has more power than he does. And most people will do things. Years ago, intercessory prayer, which I firmly believe in and I do every day, developed a theology that you had to do some things to dethrone the devil. Your prayers would do something to the devil. And it goes all against New Testament doctrine that says Jesus has dethroned him. Your prayers don't dethrone the devil. Jesus did it already. But what he wants you to do when something slams into your business, when something slams into your marriage, when something begins to work around your home, your family, and things start to fall apart, he wants you to begin to believe that there's some kind of a power, some kind of a force here, that you've got to figure out how to combat it. And you don't. You do not have to figure out how to stop the enemy. All you have to do, the Bible says, is address it and speak to it from a position of strength. I'm not trying to get healed. I am the healed, removing the sickness. I'm not trying to become prosperous. I am the prosperous of God, and I'm removing the poverty. It's your position and where you are that needs to change. If you are the sick trying to get healed, you're in the position of weakness. If you are the poor trying to become rich, then you're in a position of poverty. You are not. You are in your inheritance. You are King's kids. You are called to rule and reign on this planet. And so from this position of strength, the enemy tries to casually get your thinking to make this one little switch. I'm a have not trying to have. Faith doesn't work in that kind of an arena. Faith works in the I have. And I have this inheritance, and it is mine, and this is who I am. And then you speak the words you believe, and you function from this position of I have, it is mine. And so because I have it, I reject the poverty, I reject the sickness, I reject the attack, I reject the storm. It'll have no dominion over me. The enemy is crafty. He tries to get into your head. And very quickly, multiple times in my life, I've gotten to a place where I begin to try to fight the devil, or fight the sickness, or fight the poverty, or fight the people that are coming at me. And I forget that what's behind it is just him. He's a dethroned entity. He does not have the seat of power in my world. He does not have the power to kill me, make me sick. He does not have the power to destroy the organizations that God has grown through us. And I must always resist that thought and that thinking that no, he doesn't. In the normal course of life, everybody's business takes attacks. In the normal course of life, every flu pushes at every person here. In the normal course of life, lots of people have an attack on their health and their business and their family. But Christians who don't know their doctrine are going, oh, the devil's attacking me. Oh, no, stop it. Stop giving him such credence. Stop giving him such power. Who in the world gave him that kind of power? Nobody. A thought. Have you noticed any kind of deliverance in the Old Testament? Is there any stories in the Old Testament about demonic power that's cast out? Do you hear any reference to demons anywhere in the Old Testament? Very rare. I don't even know of a story where a demon is dealt with and exorced or brought out. I mean, there might be, but in all my reading, I'm not aware of any. But the second Jesus comes on the scene in the book of Matthew, the very first thing that we see as he comes out is he's led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And then demons cry out and say, "Who are you? You cannot come before our time." They even said, "God adjure you." I'm thinking, what? All of a sudden, demons come on the scene, or so it seems. And everywhere he goes, he is healing people from the effect of the devil. He's removing demonic spirits from a man's son who's committing suicide. It's everywhere he goes. Demons are running into pigs and coming out of demoniacs. And you go, what? Why is there none of that in the Old and tons of it in the New? Because in the Old Testament, without Jesus dying on the cross, demonic enhancement and involvement in demonic things, they simply killed you. There was no deliverance for you giving yourself into demonic work. That's why they were so forbidden to worship idols. That's why it was so brutal to dance around a golden calf while Moses is getting the Ten Commandments on the mountain. That's why to go and get involved with all these other entities and or all these other nations that worshiped and sacrificed their children. From the book of Genesis and on, you find brutal, crazy things going on. Your firstborn would be buried in the hole that you built your house. If you wanted to appease the gods, you would throw them on a frying pan. And the more they screamed, the more God, like, it's sick. I could take you through what went on. No wonder from the fall of the garden and on that Satan ruled and reigned and took entire civilizations into wickedness to the point that God just said, just clean it right out. Just don't even touch any animal in this country. Just take out, kill the animals, remove everything. Don't leave a trace of this, because it was such wickedness and because the things they did were so gross and there was no real help for them because Jesus hadn't died. He hadn't dethroned the devil. He hadn't taken our sin on the cross. He hadn't taken the keys of death and hell. To understand what took place at the cross still behooves us. We talk about being forgiven and going to heaven. No, there's a place of inheritance. There's a place of authority. There's a place of ruling and reigning and understanding that when I rise up and decide we're going to go and take that territory, that we know the lies and the enemy, he can't do stuff to us, but he can use other people to talk about us. He can use other people to attack us. He's got no physical body to attack us. I've been attacked by people who want to kill me. And that was demonically induced, but that wasn't a demon attacking me. That was him having to convince some poor guy whose brain was half there to go at me. So in business, stuff will happen. But when we understand whose we are and we understand the power, listen to this verse in Philippians 2, 9 to 10. Therefore, God has highly exalted Jesus. Now, it doesn't say that God exalted Jesus. It says that God highly exalted Jesus. And it says, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. It says, and everything in heaven bows, every angelic entity, there's different kinds of angels in heaven when you read it. The name of Jesus, everything bows. Then it says in heaven and on earth, everything bows to the name of Jesus. And those under the earth, it says, angels, demons, kings, men and women who think they're in power on this planet, everything bows to the name of Jesus. Now, we have just seen that as, I said in the name of Jesus, I should get it now. No, I think it's bigger than that. I think that when you know whose you are, and that you're walking into a situation financially, corporately, whatever you're doing, and that you know whose you are, you understand the name, which is where your inheritance is. It's where your authority is. It's who you are in your identity. That this name of Jesus, when whispered from your mouth, has power. Now, the name of Jesus will carry more power as you gain new knowledge and you meditate in the Word of God. In Isaiah 40, it says, have you not heard? Do you not know? The ever-living God, he doesn't get tired. It says the young men will faint, and the young men will grow weary, but they that wait on the Lord shall... It doesn't mean you're waiting for God to move. I'm waiting for God, waiting for God. No. This is a waiting of entwining with him, getting to know him, that when those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting on the Lord does not mean just sitting in your hammock looking around at nature. Waiting on the Lord is immersed in his word as Holy Spirit is teaching you. It is finding that secret place where the Word of God begins to bathe your head. You begin to find out who you are and whose you are. There is such an identity crisis in the church today because of horrible, useless, pathetic teaching that has taken place over millennia, that we're just kind of this little wimpy race, that the secular people can go build a $600 billion company in just a few years, but you won't find a Christian doing it with a passion for God. You'll find some 25-year-old will invent something and go be worth $1 billion in no time and use his money away. But to find a born-again, spirit-filled, driven person that goes, the call of God upon my life. The second they enter Christianity, they get twisted into the power of the devil, thinking he's that powerful, thinking he's that big, thinking he's that strong. And when you think that way, this believing gives him power. That's why he's trying to get you to think this way. And I'm teaching on this way because there are many of you right now in crises. The word crisis means opportunity. Things have changed. You are in transition. Transition is the most exciting time on the planet because you're about to go from where you are to where God has for you. It's the end of chapter 1 and the start of chapter 2. But in transition of where you've been and how you got your money, in transition between how you've lived your life and where you want to live your life, few will make too many chapters. It's one or two chapters of what they know, and after that, it just tends to slow down as they get into an area that they're unaware of, and they begin to feel this pressure that pushes at them. The pressure is not the power of the enemy. The pressure is your lack of knowledge of identity to own that chapter of your life. So his little whispers begin to break you down and go, wow, that must be a really hard thing to do. I'm going to say this, and I don't mean it completely. It's not harder to run 20,000 people in your company than to run 20 people in your company. So what are you talking about? Look at how many places can't get past the mom and pop operation. When you get systems in place, and when you learn to get middle management, and you learn the different administration, and you get this stuff all set up, and then you begin to chunk this thing and take it up and take it up. That's what all these guys are doing, whether it's McDonald's franchising or whether it's Amazon thriving across. But we get into this little Christianese weirdo thing that, well, I don't know how much bigger, we're pretty big already. We nothing. Someone asked me, Leon, how do you go on and keep doing bigger things and believing God for more? What verse do you use? And I had to admit this crazy little exercise I do all the time when I start feeling stressed. You know what I do? I always remind myself of this. There is some weird cigar-smoking, drug-smoking, prostitute, visiting business guy out there doing 100 times more than me. What's my problem? That's what I do all the time to myself. And of course, I'm confessing the word and believing God. But isn't that the truth? There's someone out there kicking it through the goalposts. There's someone out there rocking it, going to places that we just can't even. And I'm sitting there with my little Christianese going, I think it's just the devil and he's attacking me right now. I just feel a little mighty low and the devil's attacking me. Leon, shut up. Know who you are. Know whose you are. Recognize the attack of the enemy is to turn your identity from a have to a have not who's trying. If you're a have-not trying, that's an identity. If you're a have and just resisting what's trying to take it away from you, then you're in the right place. It's interesting when you begin to read about the enemy here. It says in Mark 16, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. Now, the first thing we think about is meeting a demon-possessed person who's attacking us or you know, and the guy, poor guy needs help. It doesn't say out of people. Doesn't say out of people. Many times in my life, as God has called us in a direction and we're going and attack comes and stuff happens and things go on, I'll recognize an inordinate inability to make progress. And when I can't seem to make progress in a normal time frame, in a normal way, or I have a crazy amount of pushback that is outside of what I'm used to, sometimes my lightning fast mind doesn't see this. Usually I'll go, there's a demonic assignment behind this. And I don't fight the people. I command the assignment of the enemy through those people to stop. That's how I pray. I'll just say, in the name of Jesus, so-and-so who's coming against me, I command the assignment of the enemy coming through him against me, I command it to stop in the name of Jesus. And that demon has got to stop. This dark desire to stop the kingdom of God has to stop because I've commanded that assignment to stop. Now, I can't stop him from harassing that man. I can't stop that man from embracing witchcraft. I can't stop that man from becoming demon-possessed. But I dang well stop him from attacking me. You're pretty quiet today. We must understand our authority. We must understand that when we rise up, yes, we'll come under attack. All it's trying to do is move you from a have to a have not. Now, you believed you had where you were, but now you're in a new chapter and you feel like, I don't know if I belong here. You belong more than anybody on the planet. You are a child of the King. You are a son of God, a daughter of God. We must see this. It says, in my name, you can cast out enemy, the devil. You can cast out his assignments. You can command them to stop. Sometimes in your home, you'll feel a cloudiness, a darkness. You'll feel something weird that begins to hang on day after day. And you can't shake it off. You can't belly laugh and enjoy like you used to. It's just this tension that you can kind of start cutting the air with. Recognize all that is there's new thoughts that have been introduced into the marriage. New thoughts have been introduced into the family. New thoughts have been introduced that someone has believed. No wonder that the way to pray for people is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and on, where it says, "For the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of his understanding opened." Why is that prayer so powerful? Because you've begun to be sucked in, that there's some kind of a force that's succeeding against you. There's some kind of power that's taking out your family, your health, your finances. And this subtleness of moving to a have-not when you're called to be a have begins to own you, and your believing subtly changes. In my name, you'll command that assignment to stop against your family, against your home. You need to pray for your spouse every day. Take the time to pray Ephesians 1:15, Ephesians 3:15. Pray Colossians 1, that they be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and please him in every good work. There are powerful prayers, and the reason Paul prayed them was because they would keep you focused and going, and all the attacks of the enemy wouldn't even work on you, because each day you'd get up and declare that the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ is upon me and my wife and my family and this church, and that our eyes are opened, and you begin to take that word. We understand his love, his joy. Ephesians 3, where it talks about we are strengthened with his might in the inner man. And you begin to declare, and Colossians 1, I'm filled with the knowledge of his will. As you begin to pray these simple prayers, you are, rather than always being on the defensive, the devil, I wonder what he's going to attack me with now. Listen, these Pauline epistle prayers were designed to take one man, the Apostle Paul, who, by the way, I got to find my place, I'm going to chase a rabbit. End times in me is a bit of a pet peeve, because most of the guys I talk to don't even know their Bibles enough to teach me end times. But they'll say things like, until the whole world knows, that's when Jesus is going to come back. The Bible clearly says Paul reached the then known world. One guy went to the then known world. Book of Acts tells us so. In just a few years, takes out an entire country, Asia Minor, gone for the gospel. I mean, what in the world? This man knew how to pray. He knew how to pray in a way he wasn't worried about demonic interference. He wasn't worried about demonic assignments. His forward press was so dynamic, so amazing. The prayers that he prayed kept him so focused on the presence and the power of God in the name of Jesus that he wrote letters that are stunning today. Keep yourself focused through the Pauline epistles. They are the most important scriptures to you in the Bible. Okay, yes, we read the Old Testament. Yes, we read Jesus. But where you fit in is in the revelation that Jesus gave Paul by meeting with this man. 14 years of meditation he spent as God prepared him to write 2/3 of the New Testament, the revelation from the cross to the throne. These things are paramount for you and I today if we are going to rule and reign with Christ, if we are going to make the enemy our footstool in business, make the enemy our footstool in medicine, make the enemy our footstool when it comes to the call of God on this church and on this television station and on these schools and what is ahead of us. I'm so disgusted with what's going on in the nation of Canada, and we're not backing down. We need churches. We need men and women to rise up, brilliant in wisdom, but most of all, they need to know whose they are. They need to know who they are. They need to take their place as haves. I'm not trying to become what I'm not. I am, and I'm pushing back what's trying to stop me from being what I am. I am not a have-not trying to have. That kind of positioning leaves you defeated. And I've watched people in their faith walk over the years be defeated because they come from this position of have-not rather than an heir of every promise in the Bible that is yours. In my name, you'll cast out demons, any demonic assignment. I love the 1 Corinthians 2, 6-8, where it talks about that the hostile powers who rule this age, despite what you think, are losing their grip on the world. We are rising up. We think sometimes because we've got a government in that's trying to do a few stupid things in gender and that, they're not going to win. They won't stand up in courts. But we need to speak up. We need to rise up. It's healthy churches. It's churches like ours that have gotten a foothold. Springs Church rising up in cities and in television and influence. This is not the time to kind of go, well, we did pretty good. No, we've just begun. We've just laid a foundation. From this foundation, we can impact governments. From this foundation, we can impact the way the world sees Jesus. My passion for you is make sure that you understand the enemy, that he's defeated, he's dethroned. Again, I'll finish off this quick little thought because I chased the rabbit. In the Old Testament, we don't find deliverance. We don't find freedom from demonic involvement. They would just kill them. There was no cure. There's even a story, and I haven't got time to unpack it for you, where a king was losing a battle and sacrificed his own son on the wall, spilt his blood over the wall. And in doing so, the whole battle changed and turned as demonic forces got involved. When you read the Old Testament, people think they know the Old Testament. It was brutal and bitter back then. But when Jesus died on that cross, he created a group of people like the world has never seen before. Then if that's the case, then why won't the Church of Jesus Christ rise up as heirs of every promise in the Word? My challenge to you, immerse yourself in the Word. Enjoy Holy Spirit's job of leading you into all truth. None of us here are smart enough to know what verses to get into. We're not smart enough. I'm not smart enough to lead this church to where it is today or where it's going to be 10 years from today. But I know whose I am, and I've got a helper. His name is Holy Spirit. He resides in my human spirit. And as I've learned to listen to him, there is no one that can match him for what he knows. And you know what's beautiful about the Bible when you ask Holy Spirit to help you? Is that Holy Spirit anointed 40 men to write the Bible over the course of 1,600 years. He was there when that little boy brought his lunch. He was there. He saw that wind whipping Jesus' hair and the crunch of his feet walking in the sand and the sound of his voice that echoed through the hills in that little natural Colosseum. He was there, and he's the one showing you the Word. To read the Word without Holy Spirit is a useless endeavor. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when I came to you, I didn't come with persuasive words trying to convince you. I came to you in a demonstration of the Spirit. Now, we all think it was healings or something, and he did that. But when the presence of God, when you know who you are and you meditate in the Word and you take time to allow Holy Spirit to renew your mind and get your deepest belief systems right, you are now capable of leading incredible organizations. You begin to rise up with an unction from the Holy Spirit. And it says in 1 John, you don't need anybody to teach you. What's he talking about? There's places we're going to go where there isn't a rule book for it. There's things we're going to do that the enemy, you know, he can't stop because it's a natural leading of the Spirit of God in your business, in your marriage, in your home. Recognize that when you immerse yourself in God's Word, spend some time every day. What I do is I use an iPad. If you like the Bible and you're tactile, go for it. But each day, I find a quiet time. I turn off my phone. I make sure I don't have anything that's going to cancel out. And I just sit and I ask Holy Spirit to teach me. And I always open the Word of God and I'll begin to read. Often as I think, I'll read one verse, Holy Spirit will trigger another verse and I'll search that verse out. Maybe I don't remember where it is. And I'll read that. And all of a sudden, he'll trigger another verse. And I'll go over to that verse. And it's like this communion, this time with Holy Spirit. And the strength, the Bible says the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, is quick and powerful and alive. There's something about the Word. If you want to go to places with your life, if you want to do things that have not been accomplished before, if you want to do something for the kingdom of God, know his Word. You don't need to know Holy Spirit's voice till you're obedient to the Word. And if you don't know the Word, you don't even know what to be obedient to. So let God prepare you. Let there be an excitement in you. It's not complex out there. Good Lord. Some of these guys are rising up in 4 or 5 years and doing incredible things financially. They just hire an accountant they need, hire this, outsource that, and they just put it together. Why do we as believers allow the enemy to whisper in our ear that, you know, we're going to come under attack? Show me a business guy out there who's not even a Christian, who hasn't been attacked, lied about, backstabbed. The guy down the road's trying to take him out of business too. Let's lose this martyrdom syndrome of, oh, the big bad devil. Devil can't stop you unless you believe his lies. So I told you it was going to be weird. But I really want you to lose that. There's a verse in the Bible that says at the end of the age, we will look at the enemy who, by the way, one angel comes and chains him up and throws him into the lake of fire forever. And we're going to go, was that little imp that took out nations? And one Christian, one, has more authority than him. Let God use you. Believe that he's going to take you to do great things, from your family to the people around you, to whatever is ahead of you, whatever the passions and the gifting of God and the call of God in your life. Let's come at it from a perspective of have. I'm not a have not. We pray from a position of strength. We pray from a position of ownership. We pray from a position of having what God's promised us. Someone says, well, Leon, I don't have any of the stuff. Yeah, but it's yours by rights. It's yours by inheritance. It is yours by the promises of God. And until you switch your thinking and going, I am an heir, it is mine. That little subtle change. And if you don't get what I'm saying still, just meditate on that. Say, God, help me to believe who I am. Watch the difference that takes place in all that you do as you begin to rise up and things just begin to happen, and it's powerful and it's beautiful. Father, I pray that in this room and the kingdom builders that couldn't make it tonight, that something beautiful in 2018 is going to take place in all of us as this sense of awe for who we are, whose we are, and what we can do with our lives challenges us, and that we'll wake up the mighty men, we'll wake up the warrior princesses, and we'll believe that one church can rock the world, let alone the other millions of churches that are here. Father, use us, guide us, lead us, and in this area of finance, I ask you to raise up men and women who will mess with the financial realm, knowing who they are, and we'll see, maybe even for the first time in history, teams that can take on this financial arena with such confidence, with such simplicity, being led by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name I pray this. And everyone in agreement said, amen and amen. Hope I wasn't too stern. You okay? You still feeling encouraged today? Before we break for dessert, let me just share a few things that have been going on. I love talking to kingdom builders and just kind of getting you to pray for some of the things that are taking place. And so I got to jump into it because I keep forgetting things I should be sharing with you. Going through this list of what we're believing for and seeking right now, school issues. How many have been paying attention to what's going on in our schools? With gender issues, the rights of teachers to talk to your kids about anything they want when it comes to gender, and you can't say anything. Provinces are falling. Our government's rising up. There's something we're doing right now. We wanted to start a school in Alberta only to run into a brick wall at some of the rules that are going on there that are anti-Christianity. And so I met a man in Ottawa. I was speaking out there at I forget the name of the summit. And this man has felt a passion for school. He has 630 staff that work with him, just built, making curriculum that goes around the planet. And so we met, we talked, and then he began to explain to me how brutal right now kids are and the government's intrusion into the parents' rights into some of these areas. And so I said, well, we want to start a school in Alberta. And he said, does my mic just go off? Can you hear me okay? All right. And he said, he actually lost, I forget how much money that their organization lost as they were trying to get Christian schools going in Alberta, and they just packed them all in and left because of the government's intrusion when it comes to areas against Christianity. So he says, I'm doing something, and we're hoping to be done in 2018. And here's what he told me. This man's an expert, born-again believer, brilliant man. These people write go around the world, other countries, secular schools, Christian schools. He said, there is an accreditation that universities in Canada recognize that is not Canadian. And he said, so he's in the process in the court systems right now of getting an accreditation for Christian schools in Canada that doesn't need the government's accreditation. Because this universal accreditation, which is higher and recognized by universities around the world, this governing body, is in the process of accrediting his content. And so we're working with him. We've teamed up with him. We're believing that this year some breakthroughs will take place there. And so that we don't have to look at school and go, what are we going to do if they pass laws in Manitoba that force us to do this? We've got to go to court. It's going to be millions of dollars. There's just massive things going on right now in education. Be praying. Be praying for Springs Christian Academy. Be praying for Springs as we look at Christian schools. I want my kids and my grandkids to have the kind of schooling that I can teach them the truth about God's word, and someone else can't tell me what it is that we're going to teach them. And so, and at the same time, we have got different legal groups like Christian Fellowship that are in the process of suing the government for other things they're doing. I was just talking with a gentleman, and he said that, everyone knows about this one if you've been following it, that there used to be a time when churches would be allowed to use government money to hire help during the summertime. We would do it for the inner city, and they'd give you a little bit of a grant. You'd hire some of these students to go in. Now, this year, in order to have that grant, you had to sign that you were in agreement with the government's position on, Jeff, it was abortion and
gender.
A church had to sign saying they were in agreement with killing babies and gender issue with children, or you couldn't have. So none of the churches were able even to use the finances that have always been there. So the stuff that is going on is crazy. It's off the charts. And so we're going to be working with these groups and helping them finance and raise money to go into the court system and take them on. We need to get churches to rally together on education issues, on these legal issues. This world right now, we can't just take a back foot on it. So I'll keep you abreast of those two issues and what is going on there as well. One of the things that we're doing right now as well is we started doing news out of the Miracle Channel. And the news is doing local Lethbridge, then national and international news. And our whole purpose is that news gives you power. News is what people go to. If you want to know what's going on, you flip on the news. CTV for Canada or whatever, CNN or Fox for the States. And there is really missing in Canada a balanced perspective on what is going on in the country. And so we're in the process, we've been working on this now for the last 6 or 7 months, of starting something called The Front. And The Front will be a website you go to. The Front will be a television show that we've got on Miracle Channel. We want it going on other channels, where we will bring on the nation's experts on, and we're going to take on these issues and get them into the forefront and keep at it. Don't just let the news sweep it behind the curtain. Like, you aren't going to hear, you don't hear about these things on the news in Canada. They just sweep it under the rug. They're not going to raise it up. So we need good Christian, it didn't even have to be Christian, just good God-fearing people, you know, in the center of the road going, I want to hear about what rights you're taking away from me, etc., here and there. And so The Front is something that we've already been talking with a lot of people. We've got a ton of experts across the country already signed on. We've got people in Ottawa saying, I'm in, we are going to help. This thing has taken real ground, and soon we'll be opening this up to you, showing how we're going to attack all that is going on in the name of the wicked one, and how can the Church of Jesus Christ rise up and with excellence just begin to get on and bring experts and just like Fox News, get them around a table and take on the issue and don't stop day after day, week after week, so that the nation knows what its premiers, what its law forces, what its, you know, prime minister is doing, what is going on. People are slipping things by that aren't even legal. So that, be praying about, is called The Front. That's the name that we've got. We're going to begin to work that hopefully soon. There's so many things on the go, but this is something we know that God has called us to. And be praying for The Front and for the people, the things that are needed, that not only will this voice rise up, but the whole nation will turn to it and go, if you want to know what's going on, you got to go see this. You got to go to The Front. They'll tell you the truth. And the amount of people that signed on, like I said, is just amazing. So it's going to be exciting. Another thing that we're working on right now is, this is the one I've been telling you I've been wanting to talk to you about, and I can't because we've signed an NDA. But we are 95% done with one of the largest companies in the world at taking Christian television to all of America in a few months, 95 million homes. We will be as major player as you can get in America. with Christian television. And then from there, it will leapfrog from country to country around the world. They literally came to us and asked us if we would bring Christian television, secular company, and take it around the world. So because the NDA has been signed, we're prepared. We have the we have much of the equipment, the ability, the facility to do another channel and to quickly launch it and get it out there. We've got to launch it in literally, well, it's been delayed. It was supposed to be earlier this year, and now it was delayed again. So I can't even announce it right because I keep delaying, but it is going to go. This is a done deal. And besides the Miracle Channel, which is governed by the CRTC, functioning, this will be a channel that is free from all of their governing body, that we can go to the planet with a channel. And we're going to have to produce content and all the other things in our churches. And so we've been gearing up. You've been hearing that big concert we did where we raised all that money and we got equipment and we got buildings to produce content. We got to produce content from youth to talk shows to women's shows to men's shows to news shows and all the other great speakers around the planet who are already talking to us about coming on board this new channel. It's just huge. It's just massive. It's just off the charts, the kind of things that God is doing in this area of our missions outreach to the world. Don't let people use that little thing, well, you know, we need to focus more on home. Of course we do, and we are. But we're not about to back off from gifts that God is handing us, that a denomination would give their eye teeth to have these opportunities, let alone one church. A denomination would be frothing at the mouth to have some of the things that God has just handed one church. So I need you praying. I need you believing God. I need you to give. You know, wherever, whatever you can do, be giving and say, God, I'm financing this church. Just get it in through Kingdom Builders, because there's different places at times. We've got to be ready. Okay, let's drop money right there. We need equipment. We've got to get something over there. And we just need this money in so that as we continue to unfold whatever God is doing, that we are ready for. We want to be make sure that we're always healthy. We're very healthy financially, but that's depending upon what doors God's going to open. You know what it's like. Well, all of a sudden, things are going fine. Then a door opens up of opportunity. You're going to go, oh, okay, what are we going to do with this? And so as never before, it is so exciting to see. And I love the spirit of Springs. The spirit of Springs, the culture of Springs is one of change. Have you noticed that? In fact, you're always going, what's new? What's new, Leon? Huh? I'm going, what's new? What are you talking about? Churches spend their whole life just doing one service in one location, in one building, and I love the fact that the culture of Springs is, where are we going next? Where are we going with TV? Where are we going? What city? How are we doing this? And this anticipation, this desire for change, advancement, is something that we have nurtured in Springs. And I believe it's one of the keys to this great move of God coming out of Springs. And there's so many great groups out there as well. I know for a fact we're not the only ones. We all know that. We've all got televisions. We can see what God is doing through movie stars and other denominations and other families of churches. But I'm so glad that what God has called us to, this area of creating content, I can't even call it television anymore. It's creating content. It's getting into the hands of teenagers on their cell phones, the iPads, the computers, the YouTubes, the Facebooks, the Instagrams, yes, linear television. And now, we told you last time how that there was a 13-part series that was being released on Spirit Contemporary called Smoketown. Did you? I don't know if you saw the trailer or not. Is the trailer on any of our websites? Does anybody know? Aaron or Jeff? LeonFontaine.com is a trailer for Smoketown. I'll find out and get it. We'll email it to you. And this, it's a 10-part series on showing how you can be Spirit Contemporary in the world as a policeman, a reporter. The story is unique, and each week it goes to the next level until it gets to a cliffhanger. So I was with the people that financed it were TBN, and I was with them just about a month ago. And so they are so passionate about Spirit Contemporary. And I mean, they financed all of this thing because they want Spirit Contemporary around the world like we do. So it's awesome that they picked this vision up. So I said to Matt, I said, we're out having coffee, and I said, do we want to do a second season? And he said, nope. And I kind of went, why not? He says, we want to hire you better writers. We want to find better producers. We want to take this thing to another level. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, right now we're talking with writers like the writers of The Crown. We're talking to producers like the producers. I said, what are you talking about? But they literally are saying, we want to take content to a whole new place with movies and with drama series. And so he said, so get your writers together, present to me how Spirit Contemporary can impact the world through drama or through movies. And he says, once we have the idea together, we are going to hire the best on the planet to take that thing to the world. So that was my last conversation just a few weeks ago. So be praying. Be believing. There's so many opportunities ahead of us that are so exciting. And I believe a church like Springs, let's reach our Jerusalem. Let's continue to reach out to Winnipeg, Calgary, Steinbeck, Selkirk. Never lose your ability to reach your neighbors, to invite them out to church. But I love the fact that from Winnipeg, Canada, comes a church that people, where's Winnipeg? That has got a global impact, that has got a global vision. Not only are we going to reach and grow our churches in Canada and our Canadian cities, but simultaneously we are impacting how the world sees Jesus, how the world sees ministry, and where we're going as a church. Well, I've been talking too long, and we got dessert coming. Be praying, be believing. I probably missed a bunch of stuff I should have written down, but I just want you to be aware that God's on the move. That we need your prayers. We need you strong, healthy, blessed. I want to keep teaching you to rise up and know who you are. Get out to church in a way that just let the word impact your heart. And let's believe God for greater and bigger in your life. Remember, the church is not the Springs organization. The church is you. We gather together under the title of this family, part of God's family called Springs. But let's work together, but at the same time, let's prosper as well individually. Your business, your home, healing, health, and wholeness. Father, I pray right now that something I've said today will give a direction, inspire a sense of hope. That, Father, give that couple an idea of why they are where they are. That, Father, for those that maybe have been lied to and begun to believe that maybe this is as good as it gets, maybe we've shot our best shot, that, Father, that's a lie from the pit of hell, because you said the light would grow brighter and brighter until that perfect day. You said that the latter days would be greater than our former days. So anything that they have seen, done, or accomplished, you have greater ahead of them. Burn that in their spirit, I pray. Their families, their marriages, their businesses, their careers, their bodies, their relationships. Father, guide us here at Springs Church and all that you have for us. Help us to have big ears to hear your voice, both individually and corporately. And Father, I pray protection, and we claim the favor of God that has been spoken. Help us to not listen to the whispers of the enemy, but to believe that the greatest things are still ahead of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Before we go for dessert, two quick announcements. Our gift, we were thinking of what to give you, and I know your book stack is getting big. So last year, we did a ton of business and leadership sessions, and they're all in one USB. I think it's been available once at one of our things, but today, that's what they've prepared. So we've got the entire year's sessions, the Q&A, and the sessions all on one USB. I hope you enjoy it. And you know, wherever you are, the business sense, you still got to remember, we don't just pray God pushes the gold off a cloud and it hits your pants pocket. There's skills to be developed. There's things to learn and grow. And I pray that that'll be a real blessing to you. And if you've already got one, maybe there's some one God's putting on your heart to give it to. Because this one is purely secular. There's no Christian, no church, no God. It's just designed that you can use this to reach the people around you. And please remember to use the business and leadership nights. You remember that a year and a half ago, I came to you first and said, I believe this is a great mission field for you folks. And that if you'll come and help me to, you know, be the people in the crowd, bringing out the friends and the neighbors, that we can salt this thing. And the amount of people that have found Springs Church through the business leadership is amazing. So keep using it as an outreach. Keep being there with me so that as you're talking amongst the people, I can't get to everybody, but we all can. Let this be a ministry of kingdom builders, the leadership and business night, as we reach out to them. The second and the last thing is, I want to encourage you this year, if you haven't gotten your kingdom builder form, I think these are on the table. Just take them, pray about them, fill them out. If you've done it already, thank you. If you haven't, grab one, hand it into, you want to put an envelope and seal it and put it in the offering plate or get it back to us. I think they can do it online too. There's a specific place. Where do they go for that? Sherry, do you know? In the Kingdom Builders page, you can just go right there and it comes straight to us as to what you feel in your heart you'd like to do this year, 2018. Well, my voice is getting dry. Got to shut up. But we love you. I'm so glad. One of the things that I made a deal with God, you know, 23 years ago when we came to Springs, Sal and I prayed about it. We felt that the precious group of people that were there, about 300 people that were left, I think it went down to 250 was the lowest Sunday before we came in. We just felt a kindred spirit. You know, a ton of those people are still with us today. Families, kids, growing up, and all the new people that God has got here with us. But Sal and I knew that something big was on the horizon. And we said to God, God, give us champions. Give us warrior princesses. I don't want to be up there flogging this thing like so many pastors do with their churches, fighting the board, fighting their people, arguing over tea, trying to do something great for God. I said, give me people that I have to run just to stay in front of. That was my prayer. Boy, do I have to run to stay in front of this church, and they're believing, and they're believing God, and they're giving, and their passions, and I love every minute of it. So thank you. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for being pillars. Thank you for having our back. Thank you for sharing our vision. By that I mean our vision. It's not my vision. You're here because God witnessed to your spirit that this is what we're going to do together. And let's go on. Let's 2018. I say this every year. It's going to be the best year we've ever had. And every time I say it, I prove it to you by the end of the year. So I can't wait till the end of this year when we get up and share, look what the Lord has done. Well, God bless you. We've got dessert, I think, through there probably. And so same thing. Let's just line up and have dessert. The night is young. It is only 5 to 9. And so the babysitter's fine. And this is great people. Let's keep mingling, hanging out, meeting one another. God bless you.